We are holding on Nun Bey's Omen Aleph at the top. So we're going to go to the Oy Kol Acher, right? So we finished two columns so far. The first call was it has to be Michael Adam, Michael Behemon, and it's not Miskayim. Then it's Yesh Labir, and it's Yesh Lashvius, Ladama Shvius, and Dama Beer. Second claw was if it's miskayim bars, that is to say. First case was it's ain't a miskayim bar. So there's a time where it's kol chayim and asada. The second one was where it's.
Is there any connectivity that seventh parak? It's also the seventh parak of the year of Klal Gadol.
I call Acharamu. Kosher Michael Adam and Michael Adam, Michael Behema, Umin Minat Zavin, Umin Miskayim Baretz, Yeshua Shvius, Ladama Shvius. Okay, so the second klal is the same basic idea. The only difference is that it is a Miskayim, right? So that there is no beer for the, there's no kol l'chaim and asada. So therefore, it's ain't lo beer, v'lo doma beer. Now, there's the footnote says that this is, it's really a stretch in A, I should say, in the textual variance. This is really the second rule is implicit in the first rule because it said that if it doesn't endure on the ground, then it's subject to beer. So obviously, if it does endure on the ground, it's exempt from beer. So it may put together, it may speak out both rules, but calling it another rule, od klal acher, that's very unusual because it's not another rule. It's basically just an outgrowth of the first rule. And therefore, I prefer the Rambam's girsa over here. It's much better. It says, Oid kalacha amu kosha eno ma'elchol adam, ma'elchol behema umiminat saifim. The eno miskayim baretz. So he has the opposite on both sides. It's not an oichol adam or behema, and it's not miskayim.
But either or would do the trick.
So ain lo beer of lo dama beer. So it's a completely new rule. So what was your question?
Does it have to satisfy both rules?
For what?
In order for this to make the category.
There's two rules here. One is beer and one is Kedusha Shvius. So if it's Michael Adam, then it has Kedusha's beer. If it has Kedusha Shvius. If it's Miskayim, then it has no beer. I mean, we aren't changing anything. The Girsas HaRambam is not going to change any ruling. It just makes the Mishnah telling us a little bit more. Okay, let's go on. Before we mentioned the loaf, it was talking about the Ale Haluf. You saw that? So on 51b, compare it. You have to understand the difference. One is the leaf of the wild loaf. So that's, I guess, more edible. And over here, we're talking about the root of the wild loaf. That's apparently actually it is edible because we're saying that it is going to have kedusha shvius. But the main difference is that it is being underground, so it never is kol l'chaim and asada. So therefore, it has no beer. And the root of the mint. And the our kavlin and the
vegetables that grow underneath the ground.
Mukaya, five. What are these things? They crawl around the base of the tree.
So vegetables that grow in the ground don't have beer.
Basically.
Potatoes, carrots, things like that.
These dye stuffs endure in the ground throughout the year, number six. So that would be the last group. And that's all from the group of the dyes. That's the poor and the ma'arich. Okay. Yeshlan shis l'dmei shriya, sein l'ham bir v'dmei adbir. Again, that's the same rule that we just said. Okay, next. Rav Meir says, d'mei ha misbaron ad Rosh Hashanah, that So he has this chumrah. He has a chumrah drabbanon. Even though we're saying that he's not disagreeing as far as the fruits, vegetables themselves are concerned, but he is disagreeing when it comes, if you were to switch your vegetable for money, and you had the money in your rishos, so then, because it's you can't, when you look at money, you can't tell when you're looking at the money. You see money, it has Kedusha Shvius on it. So did it come from something which is Kol HaChayim HaNasada or is not Kol HaChayim HaNasada? You can't tell looking at money what it came from. So therefore, Rav Meir holds is a Din D'Rabbanon that you always have to be Mavar it. But what's the Zman?
He sold it? He traded it?
You could buy it. You could buy it. Whatever. However.
You're allowed to, even though it's not yours.
Transferring. No, I'm talking about where it is yours. You collected it, right?
Okay.
You collected it, and then you sold it to somebody, whatever. Or you switched it. The rules of Kedushas Shvius, whatever they are. Not getting into those detailed rules right now, but you ended up with money which had Kedusha Shvius on them. So even though their source was a type of a vegetable which was not Kol HaChayim HaNasada, but nonetheless, Rav Meir has this special Din D'Rabbanon that you have to be mevar it, and they gave a special Zman, which was Kavua. Obviously, it's not connected with any real Kol HaChayim HaNasada, because it's not Kol HaChayim HaNasada, but nevertheless, they gave a special time of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, the reason Rosh Hashanah was established is the purpose of the decree served by having the money consumed by the end of Shvius. This has the effect of identifying it as Shvius money so you don't mix it up. Okay, Amru Lai, so the Chacham disagreed with him.
Is that specific to Rosh Hashanah or just you need a demarcation point?
Just a demarcation point. And you wanted it to be during the Shemitah year. So they said, "Lahenin beer. If the vegetables, the plants themselves don't have beer, surely the money which was exchanged for the plants, that's a step away." Okay, so that's the machlokas. He calls this implausible. Fine. And I guess there's going to be a response on Daf Nun Dalet. We'll see. We'll have to hold our breath and see what his response was. Although I think we already said the response. Now we're doing the talk. He says from the Taisus Yom Tov Pshat in the next lines. Until now we were talking about secondary plant components, such as leaves and roots. Now we're going to discuss secondary components of fruits. So if you have klipei rimon, this is the rind of the pomegranate and its blossom. These were used in making dyes. All these are, we're going to say now, are used in dye making. Hanet shalo. The blossom of klipe, it goes in the husks of walnuts, hagalinum, the pits. So these have shvius and the main shvius. Now the pits, there's an interesting note over here. These pits were usable fruit pits, so like olives, which have oil, or dates, which could be used as food for animals. So they have kedusha shvius, like any other plant product, used as animal or human foods, right? Others say that all types of pits have Shvius sanctity, even if they are used only as firewood. Although such a use does not make Shvius, it doesn't have to Shvius usually, but the pits are components of edible fruits, and so the pit of the fruit, which was edible, automatically took on the halacha of its parent of the fruit, right? So I thought that was an interesting rule. You're eating a peach, and you get to the pit, you throw the pit in the garbage, obviously. But the fact is, since the pit was part of a peach, it somehow got Kedusha Shvius as a result. That's what it sounds like from this others explain thing. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What are you going to do with it?
The fruit itself.
What about, for example, the skin? Sometimes wouldn't it also have a similar purpose or a purpose similar use?
The skin. Give me an example. Skin of what?
Like the peel, you mean?
The peel of a banana.
Well, or I was going to think an orange, for that matter, or something of that sort.
Peel of an orange.
Yeah.
I think what they do is they They peel the oranges and they let it sit for a day or two and then let it dry out and then they throw it in the garbage.
And they let it rot, but no, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I think that's what they do because there are uses for. I mean, orange peels are edible. I know they use it in chocolate.
And marmalade.
Yeah, so there are some uses for it. I think that if it would not be edible, that it would not. It would probably be this. What you're asking me is if it's not edible and not useful, and if you held the pits, had Kedusha Shvius, would the peels as well have? I mean, stands.
Well, that's what that implication from this Rambam, which
stands to reason. I don't know. I don't really know the answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you have to look into it, but you have to keep these things in mind, I guess. Hatsaba Tzovela Atzmo. Now we're going to get into some more halacha l'maisa. Now that we've gotten through the klolim over here. So we've been talking about dyes. So what if you're a dyer? That's what you do as a profession. I've never met one. I don't think I've ever seen one. I'm not even sure I've ever seen dyeing on a garment as being an option, except maybe in a cleaner's once I saw it on a sign. I have never seen this. So a dyer can use Shvi'is produce to dye for himself. So ve'a la'atzmo. In other words, so I have dye. I'm a professional dyer. I can take my undershirt. I want to dye it black, right? So for my next march, for my next rally, right? So I go ahead and I can dye it for myself. But lo yitzo beskar, I can't dye for pay, right? I can't dye for pay. That means you are going to pay me, right? You're going to pay me to dye your undershirt. Okay, that I can't do because that's a violation of la'achla l'schar, apparently. It's tantamount to doing business with Shvi'is produce. She'ein ois in schar b'per Shvi'is. The Mishnah says this, right? V'lo b'b'choros. The footnote, by the way, says that if you hired me to dye your beged with your dyeing materials, that would be mutter because I'm just doing work for you. That's okay. But what about Bechoros? What about using a firstborn? So what's going on over here? This is 18. Let's see here. There's an Issa d'Rabbanan doing business with Bechoros. He says it's of limited nature. If you own a blemished Bechor, you can sell it to another Kohen of Yisrael. They impose a prohibition on dealing in Bechoros, which means I can't open up a Bechoros barter business, right? Where I buy Bechoros from you and sell them to other people for a profit. That's a d'Rabbanan. Okay, so he says it's some kind of a gzeira because you might end up using the wool, you delay the sale. Okay. Loba Trumos. You can't, what's the Trumos thing? This is the Rabbanan again. What? A non-Kohen. If you're going to deal with buying and selling Truma, you might inadvertently eat it. That's one reason. That's the Rasha's reason. There's another reason, which is that it is Zion to Truma to treat it as merchandise. That's from the Mari Kirkus. So we have a Machloikas. What the reason is. Again, the Rash says that if you're a non-Kohen and you're buying and selling, you may come to eat your product. And the Mari Kurka says it's a bazillion. What's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is going to be if you are a Kohen and you want to sell Trumas. So if the reason is because of the Rash, you might come to eat it, it would be Mutter. According to Mari Kurka, it would be Aser. And others say even according to Rash, it would still be Aser because you might forget that it's Truma. And eat it when you're tummy. Okay. These are just different things on the bottom. That's Trumas. Lobin Avelis. So we're talking about doing business. That's why this is important. Halachas. You have to know what you can do business in. You can't do business with Avelis. Now, the Torah says if you have an Avelis, you can sell it. When it says Lobin Avelis, if you look at the bottom of footnote 20, the Torah explicitly permits a person to sell an Avelis to a non-Jew. So dealing in the veilus means you can't buy an animal in order to sell it for profit. So if I have an avela, you can't buy my nevela from me with an intention to sell that nevela for a profit. That's the Isra on nevelas. But you yourself, if you experience a nevela, your shkita doesn't work out properly or whatever, you can certainly sell it to a non-Jew. Of Loba Trefis, same rule. That's the same rule. Loshkots and Loba Mosim, all these are all Dvarim Asurim. You can't make businesses out of Dvarim Asurim. This is, by the way, a very negah halacha in terms of if you're in the futures market. I think there's a hog. I think there's a hog future.
Pork bellies,
right?
Hillary invested 1,000 and made 100,000.
That's very good. She's not a Jew, so I don't think there's a problem there. But if you're a Jewish person, this might. It might be a big problem, right? If you're making panasa out of a davar ha'asar,
so you should use a davar ha'asar.
What's that?
You can use a davar ha'asar, but you can't.
You can't be nosa v'nosein in a davar ha'asar. So I don't think you can. I don't think you can trade in pork belly.
You own a hotel. You can serve treif to your.
That's cable. Something totally different. That's different. Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole debate about that. How you can. In other words, and owning shares of McDonald's is obviously not a problem, because
you're not a majority owner.
Yeah, well, I'm saying you're not necessarily. You can always tie. No, I'm not making my profits. Not coming from the tarfas. My profits coming from the soda. And that's it. Yesh breira lekula. I don't know. Anyway, I know that I once owned McDonald's stock, so and the guy that bought it for me is a firm guy. Can't be that he was marshaling me in anything. Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway,
did
you
make money?
I made a little bit, not a lot.
He was
marshaling. Yeah, I have to speak to him whether I still own it. Well, yeah, hello, Kayak. You also saw the
what?
What?
Why isn't not with the pork belly contracts, that the whole din is a contract right, so you don't actually have to see it. It's just a legal right to sell.
Yeah, that might be a heter, but if you hold that contract till it expires, you will take delivery on that product. It's not just in theory. You will be delivered pork bellies. That's only based on the timing of how you buy and sell that contract. Okay, lo yeh lokech yorak esada umecher rashuk. So here again, there's a whole discussion here. There's a whole raid here in the bottom. Exactly what's going on here. He's got a big machlokes rishonim over here. Let's try to get through some of it. You can't buy vegetables from the field. This is what fools everybody. It says the word lokeach here, but it doesn't mean lokeach. Lokeach, and some people change the gersa to locate. What you're actually doing is you're collecting, you're not buying, you're collecting the vegetables in the field, and then you're selling them in the market. Okay? You cannot do that. I will locate, you can collect them, and no mocher ayado, and your son will sell it. Meaning you'll have a little stand on the side of the field, so you're not collecting it. So here's where the Machlokes Rishonim begins. It'll become clear how these statements mean, what exactly they mean when we discuss the Rishonim. So let's just read one more line here. Lo kach la'atzmei v'hoiser, if you took shvius produce from the ground for the purpose of using it yourself, but in the end you had some left over, right? So mutu l'makro, you can sell that small amount, because when you collected it, your intent was just to eat it. So now he has a long discussion here. We'll just summarize it very short, briefly, as to what exactly the Isser here is on under the Isser of Schoira. So let's see. So Rash says business means gathering produce from the field purpose of selling it and carrying out the sale. So process of buying selling for profit is prohibited. So let's see what else. Another opinion is that of Re. Re maintains that the biblical Isser is what? Buying large quantities. It's not a small quantity you could buy and sell as long as it's not a large quantity. Once you're dealing with large quantities, Then there's an Issa D'oraisa. Then there was an Issa D'rabbanan that kicked in on the smaller quantities if it's done in a business-like manner. Then you have the Ramban, who has this third opinion, that in his view, he has a very simple view of things. If you're going to buy and sell, or gather and sell, any amount of Shri's produce, as long as it's okay, as long as the proceeds are used for food, you're gonna use this to buy other food. So if your proceeds are used for other food, the Ramban holds it's a mutter. When you're buying and selling skhira, that means you're doing it for profit to gather to make money. That's what he holds it's awesome. That's how he holds it's awesome. That's what he holds basically. The last thing I want to just mention is the gra, which is on the bottom of the next page. The approach of the gra is, as understood by Chazon Ish, is like this. They explain that the Mishnah does mean to distinguish between buying and picking. In other words, we keep ignoring the word lokeach and locate, and we keep even maybe changing the girsa. The gra is learning that, no, those words are davka, lokeach, and locate. What's the shot? The first clause teaches us that you cannot buy vegetables of the field and then sell them in the market. That's the person in on lokeach, you can't buy it and sell it. The next clause teaches us locate, you can collect the vegetables, and then have your son sell it for you. The latter case is that, not that another person is making the sale, that's not the reason for the heter. Even you could make the sale. The reason is that business is defined specifically as buying produce and selling it. Picking it and selling it is not considered business.
Is the effort an isser or just a consummation of it?
The effort? Do you say effort?
Yeah. In other words, for example, you're doing everything. You know, you're trying to sell shvius. Nobody's buying.
It really makes a difference on what your intent was when you picked it originally.
I picked it originally to sell it.
Okay. So then that's a big shaila in the Rishonim. It's going to be totally in this machlokas. It's going to be a big shaila in the Rishonim. So if your intent is to buy food with what you're going to sell it for, so then the Ramban will hold its mutter. According to others, it will be usher. You'll have to work it out according to all these Rishonim.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I understand the machshava when you're picking it, but does that mean that you don't actually have to engage in the issur of selling it? It's just even the attempt to sell. Because
I'm not sure why you're getting into that particular detail. I mean, you're getting involved in. Person has machshava to do an aveira, and it was loyal to biyada. Is that your question?
The rash is that he carries out the sale. That's all.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going one step before that.
Okay, I don't know.
By the mirror attempt.
Not sure. Okay, let's go by turn now. 52b2. Lokach b'chor l'mishta v'no l'regel. If you bought a b'chor, which was obviously it was a balmum. And you bought it for your son's wedding or for the festival for one of the shloshu golem. Below tzarach lo, and you didn't need it, right? There was plenty of food without it. Mutol lemoichrei, you could sell it then, no problem. Tzarichai v'ofes v'dogem, shenismarol haminim tameim. If you were a trapper, and you ended up trapping things that are not kosher, so again, mutol lemoichrei, you could sell them. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer. Even if you happen to you chanced upon some non-kosher animals on your way, and in other words, you saw the animal and you said, "Oh, you know, this is an opportunity. I'm going to grab this bear and sell a bear hide." He can sell those. That's not his occupation. In other words, he just happened upon a bear, right? So, the basis of the Tanakh, right? So, Yehuda holds, if you're going his way, such as a nest of non-kosher fledglings, he's permitted to seize and sell them, as long as it's by chance, not his practice, to seek such finds. Tanakh permitted only trappers, professional hunters, to sell non-kosher creatures that they chance upon while engaged in their occupation, Rav Yehuda extends that heter to all people. What's the basis for the Tanakhama saying that the only professionals? Because they have to pay government taxes. So therefore they gave a special heter for them that they are allowed to, right, keep these non-kosher animals and sell them. But Rav Yehuda held that it's always mutter. Okay.
Well, somebody shechs a chicken and it becomes treif. Can they sell it as,
Yeah, that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah. We just mentioned that before. Anybody who has nevelis is allowed to sell them.
Oh, okay.
Nevelis will have to sell them. We said that was the case. Okay? And the Chachamim Oisrim, the Chachamim Aseret. So exactly, what exactly the difference between the Chachamim Oisrim and the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama also said it was Aser. So the bottom here it says, sages are more lenient than the Tanakhama in regard to the scope of the heter for trappers. Tanakhama permits them only to sell that they chance upon. The sages permit them even to deliberately capture non-kosher animals to cover the licensing fee. Okay? Okay, whatever. So that's the difference. The Gemara says, one last Gemara before we quit. It says in the Pasuk, so the Gemara says, Svan, Lord, how do we know that the dyes are awesome? Right, we've been talking about food. We understand food is aser. But how do you know dyes are aser? What's the source for the Kedusha Shvius? The Mishmir Maradoth, the one across the Pasuk. Lachem, kol, shu, tzar, lachem, anything needed for you. The whole list, right? Eating, drinking, and anointing, and dying. D-Y-E-I-N-G. So, yotzes malug ma she'en el-lachulim. That excludes medicinal plaster, which is only for the sick. Yatsis alintin, shayna ulatapilin. That's also alintin, which is useful only for people who have no sense of taste. Look at that, COVID. We see here that it says for you, lochem, means that that shvius produce may be used for dying, so that means that it has shvius sanctity. All right? And that's where we'll stop here. Thank you very much for joining me tonight.